Good day to you, everybody. It is very early on the morning of September 13th, 2006. My name is Monty Eisenagle, and I am located in Riverside, California, which is about 50 miles or 60 miles thereabouts southeast of Los Angeles, actually more east than south. Those of you that know me know that I used to run a podcast that I called Monty's Rants. I haven't done an episode of that in quite a while. But I might very well be starting that back up again, and I figured I would do a Buying Cool Tech submission to sort of get me back into the podcasting swing of things, if you will. For those of you that don't know me, this is actually my first submission to Blind Cool Tech. I've definitely heard of Blind Cool Tech, and I've heard some people say some not so good things about it, which I don't like. I don't know why they would criticize it. There's a lot of useful things on this podcast that I kind of like this idea of the community podcast, if you will. It's, you know, Blind Cool Tech started as a one-person effort, and I'm not sure how it all happened, but very quickly, it sort of became a community-driven podcast, if you will, with submissions from all over the blindness community. I mean, that's actually, I don't even think there are any non-blindness podcasts that do that. All the podcasts that I know about are usually done by one person or a couple people, and that's it. You know, you don't get different submissions from different people like you do on Blind Cool Tech. I mean, how many podcasts do you know of that are up to, what do we have, over 890 episodes here on Blind Cool Tech now? Over, what do we have, 9-10 gigs of content, I would guess, if you collect every single BCT episode, which I may very well do. Just because I'm a geek and I do things like that. You know, I might collect weird, neat, cool things like that. You know, I think we're actually a very unique podcast. So I hope we continue to do it. We have, you know, FTP sites for submitting things. We have everything just very, very nicely set up. And I want to thank Larry Scoot Khan and all the others that have helped make this possible. And I'll tell you a little bit more about myself. I am a ham radio operator. I am KD6CAE. That's phonetically Kilo Delta 6 Charlie Alpha Echo for you hams out there that might want to get in touch with me that way. You can do that. I also enjoy monitoring space shuttle missions, which in fact is what I'm doing right now. You might be able to hear it in the background. I have the space shuttle on. We have a local, actually it's a bit of a distance. It's actually an LA area repeater, but I get it pretty well out here in Riverside. Local ham radio frequency that carries space shuttle audio when the shuttle's up. And they are getting ready to start their second spacewalk on this Space Shuttle Atlantis mission. STS-115 is the mission number. And you're hearing them prepare for that as they do their preparations and get ready to go out of the spacecraft, which they'll probably do in the next couple hours. But I do follow that, so it's kind of neat to follow the Space Shuttle. I love using the computer. Chatting with folks on Skype and on the radio and on the and on Ventrilo and any other, you know, I've got MSN Messenger as my primary messenger, so folks can chat with me that way as well. It's a lot of fun. And just love using technology in general. For you ham radio operators, I had an IRLP node at one time, which I had to, due to financial issues, I had to actually sell the node computer to another friend of mine. However, I'm hoping to get back into having an IRLP note again soon. And you can hear the local ham radio repeater identifying itself in Morse code in the background. That's the repeater that I'm listening to the space shuttle on. If you live in the Los Angeles area and you want to know what frequency that is, it's 448.5 megahertz. So if you have a scanner or if you have a ham radio and you want to listen to it, that's how you do it. Mainly what I wanted to do with this podcast, besides introduce myself, is I wanted to reflect on September 11th, 2001. I wanted to tell everybody where I was on 9/11, and maybe there'll be other submissions of people mentioning where they were on 9/11. I was asleep when everything first happened, when the first plane hit the World Trade Center. I was still asleep. At the time, a good friend of mine, who at the time was my roommate, was living with us. And he was watching the local news, as he sometimes did. Not very often, but sometimes he did. And I heard the sound of the TV, but I was still groggy. I was still asleep. I figured, you know, it's, you know, he's just watching the news. No big deal. But then I faintly heard the news say something about plane hit World Trade Center. I'm like, what? Plane hit the World Trade Center? That can't be right. I actually thought I was dreaming. Then, so I just kept laying there. And the next thing I heard was, all airports have been closed and all aircraft have been ordered to land. All flights have been canceled. Well, I immediately sat up and jumped up in bed after hearing that. I'm like, I don't think I'd be dreaming that. And sure enough, I was still hearing the news from the next room when I sat up, jumped up in bed. And so I was wondering what the heck was going on. It was obviously something major. And I figured maybe a Cessna had hit the World Trade Center or something. And I walk in to the other room where the TV was, to the master bedroom, and that's where my roommate was. And he's like, Monty, you need to watch this. He's like, have you heard what happened? I'm like, no, I just woke up. He's like, a plane has just hit the World Trade Center. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. He's like, yeah, a 757. I'm like, you mean one of those big jets? He's like, yeah. I'm like, that's not good. And this was right before we saw the second plane hit the building. We actually watched that happen live on TV. And that's when I got chills. I was like, oh my God, what are they doing? Why? You know, at first we thought it was an accident, but then after two planes hit, we're like, something is not right and it's not good. And so I sat there glued to the television for probably a good 8 hours or more. I think actually it was more like 10 or 11, 12 hours, actually. I remember staying there until like 5 or 6 o'clock that night, our time, Pacific. So we were there for a good 11, 12 hours after it happened. We just glued to the TV the whole time. You know, I just couldn't believe it. I was there, you know. We saw the first tower collapse, and we're like, oh my. You know, I actually started, you know, in the second tower collapse, and I started crying. I couldn't believe what was happening. And then we had the plane hit the Pentagon. Reports of the fire coming into the Pentagon and then the crash in Shanksville, Pennsylvania with Flight 93. After that crash, actually after the Pentagon hit, and definitely after the Pennsylvania crash, my first thought became, oh my God, is something going to hit toward Los Angeles? You know, because people, I mean, we had the World Trade Centers were hit, Pentagon was hit, presumably the White House was going to be hit if the plane hadn't crashed in Pennsylvania. So I was starting to fear that Los Angeles, something, you know, was going to be hit on the West Coast somewhere. I was like, my God, is it, you know, is this going to stop? Fortunately, it did. But I was, for a little bit there, I was scared, as I'm sure we all were. That day was a day that I will never forget, ever. And I remember even watching Building 7 come down. Building 7 was the one that came down across the street, went down about 2:20 in the afternoon, I believe it was, Pacific time, 5:20 Eastern. And as horrific as 9/11 was, I actually have questions. Because right now, I'm not sure what to believe. Firstly, I know, or at least I believe, that our current president, President Bush, is not helping this country. We are wasting money in Iraq. We are, you know, just blowing money away over there that could be spent helping people here. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. I believe that's been so much as admitted to. And yet, we're still over there. But that's a whole other issue I get into. The point being that with President Bush keeping our military in Iraq and with the whole response of Katrina last year, it's no wonder that I've wondered even from day one about 9/11. Questions like, how could we have not known about such a coordinated attack? You know, you don't just one day hijack 4 airplanes and have your missions of hitting 4 different buildings be 75% successful. I mean, that's, you know, that takes planning and a lot of planning at that. To stage the hijacking, coordinate it, plan it, execute it, I mean, that takes work. And these hijackers did it. You know, but I have questions, you know, like, why didn't, supposedly, there were warnings of 9/11 coming, you know, that there would be a hijacking. You know, regardless of whether it happened or not, I would take a threat like that very seriously if I were leading the country. And I wouldn't waste any time about it. If there was a threat that came to me and said, and it was, airplanes may be hijacked, I'd make sure security was heightened. And instead, it was ignored and the events were allowed to happen. Makes you wonder. The collapse of Building 7, they say, is due to fire, but it was all the way across the street. And it was a 47-story modern building that no plane hit. It just sort of came down. You know, I wonder, there are, and I've watched various documentaries that suggest, and I don't believe one way or the other, I'm kind of on the fence here, because I've purposely looked at either side of the whole 9/11 issue. And there are people that believe that the World Trade Centers were actually demolished, or the collapse of the World Trade Centers was as a result of controlled demolition. And there are people that believe that 9/11 was an inside job by our own government. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I definitely have questions about 9/11 and why things happened the way they did, why over 2,900 people had to lose their lives unnecessarily. There was no warning of this. The public had no warning. There was, you know, no indication. And it's sad. You know, so as we look back on 9/11 a bit more than 5 years ago now, I still have those questions. It's very chilling. For those that don't know, on 9/11, the CNN website, which might I add is sort of accessible, but I think it could be very much improved. They had a thing called 9/11 as it happened. And it was a presentation that had about 3 hours of 9/11 actual live coverage, real time live coverage, unedited, three of the first 3 hours of 9/11 activities. And I was listening to that, and man, did that bring back some memories, because I watched, remember, like I said, I watched almost all of that from, about right before the second plane hit onward. And boy, that brought back some chilling memories. Let me tell you, I actually listened to that video feed that was up on CNN on 9/11 about two or three times. It was like, wow, I wish they would sell that on DVD so I could, have it in my collection. I mean, it was, something historical like that. I mean, as tragic as it was, it's one of those historical things where, you want to have it around. I mean, it was part of history and you were there, That's how I see it. So if anybody has any clips of 9/11, that would be kind of cool to get a hold of those 9/11 news coverage from that day back in 2001. Was kind of cool that CNN had that on the 5th anniversary. So that was something that I listened to on 9/11, and boy, the chills that came down me as I remembered where I was, the position I was sitting in. I'll never forget it. We didn't have any chairs. I was sitting on the floor right in front of the TV in our master bedroom that we were in, where it all was. So, yeah. I hope that we will get answers to 9/11. I hope the 9/11 site, the site of Ground Zero at World Trade Center Tower site, will be rebuilt into a nice memorial, and the eventual Freedom Tower that'll go up there, hopefully within the next decade, I would hope. And hopefully the families will mourn as they need to. And I hope those of us here in the US and abroad will keep traveling, keep doing what we need to do, and don't let terrorism or whatever it was keep us from enjoying the freedoms that we have. I hope that Blind Cool Tech will continue. It is an awesome site. It has become an awesome resource. You never know what you're going to find up there. I think I don't know how much data we have up here on the Blind Cool Tech site in terms of actual data. Maybe someone could tell me, but I believe that somewhere all of these podcasts should be kept, even if it's up on Archive, our media, archive.org. Because this stuff, there's some good stuff around here, on Blind Cool Tech. And so I hope it continues. I will very likely, I might do some stuff for Blind Cool Tech in the future. Maybe some software reviews or cool things of interest that I find. I do have an iRiver, which I originally got for my own podcast, and I've used it a few times on trips, and it's really cool. And so I hope to do more submissions to Blind Cool Tech. But as my first one, and as my attempt to try to get back into podcasting in some way, I wanted to reflect back on 9/11 and let you know where I was, and maybe to spark a submission of where were you? As the Alan Jackson song says, "Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day, September 11th, 2001?" love to hear your stories on 9/11. If you want to contact me to tell me how awful this podcast was, or how awesome it was, or just to say hi, you can do so at Monty, that's M-O-N-T-Y, Mike Oscar November Tango Yankee, at KD6CAE.net. That's Kilo Delta 6 Charlie Alpha Echo .net. So that's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at KD6CAE.net. I hope you all have a good day. Keep the submissions coming, and I will try and do the same. Good night from Southern California. God bless, and hope that all of you had a safe 5th anniversary of 9/11. Have a good night. 73.